Hey everyone, my name is Mitchell, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way for you to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Happy Easter, everybody. Welcome to the River Church. So glad that you are here. My name is Jason Combs. I have the privilege of being the location pastor here, and just want to welcome you. If you're a guest and never been here before, thank you for coming. Maybe you just haven't been in a long time. We're honored to be our guest, and there's lots of options out there, and so we're glad that you are here. Maybe you came to the Easter egg hunt yesterday. We had some 1,400 people here in our building yesterday, and Michigan said you can't have it outside. And that's what Michigan said, because it was like 15 degrees and pouring down rain. And so we had about 100 volunteers that totally transformed this building, like almost every single room, into an Easter egg hunt building. It was fantastic. Just had a wonderful day yesterday. But so glad that you are here. Today's a special day. If you know the Lord, it is a very wonderful day. We celebrate the greatest gift ever given today. We think of this as the greatest day ever, that Christ came and he died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. That 3 days later, he rose again, that he defeated death, and that he offers salvation to mankind. In the Bible, in the book of Luke, it explains that morning. In Luke chapter 24, it says, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." Just again, just to kind of walk through that, they're going to the grave, and the tomb, the stone is rolled away. Think of the angst that is happening, and now they go inside, and the body is not there. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. Right? So we just don't think they had like tuxes on or something like that, right? We know another part, like there are angels. This is so overwhelming, the angels, that they were frightened and they bowed their face to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. The greatest day, the greatest gift. This morning in my family little text thread, my mom texted, she didn't know the sermon, but she goes, "The greatest day ever." So this morning, I'd like for you to just contemplate wherever you're at with Jesus. If Jesus is Lord of your life, if you love the Lord, or if you're in a place that you came, and if you're honest, you don't like the Lord, or maybe don't believe in him, may you just consider this statement: how great really is this day? Do we really grasp the greatness of what happened on Easter? As I pondered this thought and prepared for this sermon, I just thought, we as a culture, we love great things. We even, like, when I think about that, we want the next great thing. We want the thing that's greater than the thing before. We love the upgrades, don't we? Every commercial is like, "Hey, you got this, but I got one better for you." We like the upgrade. We like when things get better. That's why we watch like the Apple thing. What new thing are they going to come out with me to play with? What's the next? What's the greatest thing? What's the next thing? I remember when I was in high school, just thinking about that. I remember I was in high school and they came out with that next great video game system. It was a 64-bit system. It was called an N64, and I thought it was going to transform my life, right? Just thinking of how much better it was than the Super Nintendo, and then way, way back in the day, the Nintendo, right? Some of you are like, Atari? I know, all right, but just to think, and I got that in high school, like, man, this is the greatest thing. And I took it downstairs, and my mom and dad had this 52-inch projector screen. Remember those that had the lines in the middle of it? You could barely see. Man, that was a great thing, wasn't it? But to think about the greatest thing, in our culture that's looking for the next great thing, when we come to the cross, when we come to Easter, as we read in Luke, the two men, the angels standing there, they looked and they said this in verse 6, "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee." It's saying, remember, Jesus, he's died on the cross. He rose again. I know you are devastated. Your world has been flipped upside down. But I want you to realize something. Christ going to the cross was the plan the whole time. Christ was not tricked. He was not overwhelmed. It was the plan. It was so much the plan that in Jesus' ministry that we see in the Gospels, some 3 years, he would tell them over and over and over again, hey, this is the plan to give up my life. This is the plan, 3 days and three nights. And when they heard, remember what he said, they remembered. They remembered what Christ had said. I'd like to show you one of those places in the Bible before Christ went to the cross, Matthew chapter 12. Here Jesus tells them, I'm going to go to the cross. 3 days and three nights, there will be this great sign. So in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, the Bible says this, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying," so the scribes and Pharisees are speaking to Jesus. Now, the scribes and Pharisees, they are the religious people, but as we study them, we find out they're not the people that truly follow God, they're just the people that use God. They use God for prosperity. They use God for prestige so that people will look at them. Sadly, that's still going on in the church today. People put on the appearance that they follow Jesus, but they're just using it for a power, a prestige. Some of you may be in here today and you were hurt by one of those that hurt you, that you thought, man, this is a follower. Can I tell you, that's not the true church. Here the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, "Teacher," which again, this is sarcasm. They don't believe he's a teacher. They come to him and say, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." Now, a sign meaning a miracle. Jesus, just show us something that we'll go, okay, you're God. Now, what is interesting about this is that the Pharisees that had already seen Jesus do many signs, he had already healed people. Jesus had done these miraculous things. But in their heart, they were still blinded to the truth of Jesus. And they had just said, well, Jesus' power doesn't come from God. It comes from Satan. And so they come to him seeking a sign, but not really. That's not their heart. But I do think maybe you're in here this morning, and that's where you're at in life with God. That's where you're at with Jesus. You just go, Jesus, just show me a sign, and then I'll believe. Just take those clouds and kind of do something with them, or split the trees, or just do something. And then I'll believe. Just show me a sign. Maybe that's where you're at. And so Jesus answers the Pharisees knowing their heart. Verse 39, he says, "But he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seek for a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Now the prophet Jonah is an Old Testament book in the Bible. Prophet Jonah, who Jesus here is, the Old Testament tells us about, and Jesus here is verifying this to be true. He says, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So he says there's a sign, the sign of Jonah. Now, we at the River Church, we've been studying the book of Jonah the last month. As we study, you find Jonah's kind of a jerk face. Now, I think the book is from him. I think he said, yeah, I was kind of a jerk face. It's who I was. But you read about Jonah and what he did and how the Lord didn't leave him alone, even in his anger, even in, as he said, God, I don't want you. God kept chasing after him, and God caused a storm. God caused a fish. Jesus says, just as Jonah was in the fish 3 days and three nights, you know that sign? There's a sign that the Son of Man will be 3 nights, 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus points to this great sign. What is it? He's pointing to the cross, to his resurrection. Goes on to say, it says the men of Nineveh. So the story of Jonah is that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He hated those people because those people were ruthless and they were warriors and they'd kill people. They did despicable things. So finally Jonah relented and went to them and preached the message that God called them to preach, that called them to repentance. In Nineveh, a town, a city who didn't know the Lord, didn't have the promises, didn't have the commands, didn't responded to the message of God. And they repented. They turned away from their ways and they believed. That's why verse 41, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Why? For they responded, or they repented at the preaching of Jonah. They responded to the truth of God. I also think this is a wonderful thought, that the people of Nineveh, they didn't have an upbringing of God. They didn't have any of that. They just heard the truth. And they repented and they believed God. Maybe you're in here this morning in your place like, man, I got to figure out how to get my life in order to follow the Lord. I got to figure out what things I got to walk through to follow God. And you can look to the people of Nineveh and see, man, it's not that they had everything in order. They heard the truth of God, repented and believed, and it changed everything. But at the end of this, it says, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And then it says this, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Now, I just want you to pause and to hear. I want you to think about those who are listening to this. Jonah is a prophet. It is one they believe. They believe the Lord did this. They believe the fish. They believe the 3 days and night. And Jesus says, let me tell you of something greater than Jonah. Greater than the prophet. And then the next verse, Jesus doesn't stop. I wish I had time to dive into the whole truth of this because it's so wonderful. But verse 42 says, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So again, what Jesus is doing is saying the Old Testament, who you believe, King Solomon, David's son, the great king. The Bible says he is the wisest of all men. He was so wise that people would come from all over. This queen came from some 1,200 miles to come and hear the truth, the wisdom of Solomon. But Jesus says, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Again, I want you to fathom the shock. Jesus is saying, they've come to him to mock him. They say, give us a sign. He said, listen, the sign of Jonah, guess what? It points to me, Jesus. 3 days and three nights, I will rise again. Something greater than Jonah is here. The prophets, something greater than the king, Solomon, wiser than all. Something greater is here. At the beginning of chapter 12 and verse 6, Jesus says the same thing again. He says, I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. Man, this is a fascinating study, but this is more than shock. This offends them because nothing other than God is greater than the temple. And Jesus says, hey, I am greater than the temple. Why? Jesus proclaims deity. Jesus proclaims to be God. See, what has happened in our culture, people will soften what Jesus claims or who Jesus claims to be. They'll say Jesus was a good man. He was nice. He held babies. He was just wonderful and kind. But they miss who Jesus truly proclaims to be. He turned to God's people, the Jewish people who rejected God, and says, greater is here than who? Greater than the temple and your priestly system. Greater than all your prophets and greater than all your kings. Greater than all of that is here. And what is the sign that is going to show it? The sign greater is that Jesus went to the cross. He died, and 3 days later, he rose again. This is the great Jesus. For our generation, for all generations, do you want to know what the sign is that Jesus, that God has shown you, that he is God, that he loves you? It is the sign of Good Friday and the sign of Easter. If you want to see it, Christ came, he died on the cross, and he rose again. I want you to know that the River Church, we are a people that we don't just follow Jesus because it makes us feel good inside. We don't just follow Jesus because we were raised that way, because we you know, it works for me. It's something that I come to. I feel better. It encourages me. It's not just that. It works for us. We here, the church, why we follow Jesus is because we believe that today, Easter, Jesus, what he did on the cross and that he rose again, we believe it to be true. We believe that it's not a myth, it's not a legend, it's not a helpful tool. We believe that Christ died and rose again, and it is true. And so the question is, if it is true, if this is really what happened, do you believe? Do you believe in the greatness of King Jesus? Or do you believe this is just something that maybe helps some people? I had a pastor friend. He told me the story. He told me that in the 80s, a long time ago, in the 80s, he got into golf, and he was really starting to enjoy golf and started playing better and getting better at the game, so much so that he decided to go take lessons. And you know you're serious about golf when you take lessons. So he went to this pro, you know, you go to the little range, you start hitting balls, and they watch what you do, and they correct your swing. And so he's like, man, I went there. And he goes, I was just puring. Every shot I hit about, it was like, that was the perfect, you know, the best shot I've ever hit. And then the next one, he goes, I was just hitting it so well. And he said, the pro looked at me and said, everything looks really good. He said, there's only one problem. Your clubs are garbage. Like, your clubs are like from 1937. You need new clubs. And so he said the pro reached down and picked up the satchel, and he unzipped it and he pulled out this graphite driver. He goes, hey, I just purchased this brand new graphite driver for myself. This thing is the greatest. And he goes, I just want you to try. I want you to be amazed how great this thing is. I want you to try it. And so my pastor friend was like, nope, I ain't doing that. No. And he's like, no, you have to. No, no, I'm not. So finally he relented. He's like, fine, I'll hit the driver. And so he said he took that first swing, went up there, swung, hit the driver on the ground, snapped it in half, and the club went flying out into the field. So he said, I went and picked up the driver. I handed it back to the pro, and I walked away. And he's never went back to golf again. Some people think that Jesus is just one of those things that may help. It may be one of the, like for you, it may help you and may not help you. Or maybe in your past you go, man, I've tried. But I want to tell you, if the resurrection is true, if the truth of Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by him, this means it's the only way. He is the greatest. He is the Savior, and he offers us salvation. And so this morning, whether you know Christ or don't know Christ, may we just stop and think about how great this moment is. The truth that Jesus died and rose again. Now, you may be skeptical. And as a church, we love to talk about that. We're not a church to go, just be quiet. Let's talk about the truth of Jesus. I love studying the truth of Jesus. I love when you look, the arguments are so revealing. You look at the disciples. These men that followed Jesus around. That Christ dies and he rises again. And when you study the Bible and even history, you'll find that these disciples gave up their lives to say that Jesus rose again was the truth. Right now, if one of them would have done that, we may say, well, there could be one guy that's kind of crazy. You know, you could be like, you know, one guy would die for a hoax. One guy would go, yeah, this is all fake. We're just gonna try to play this out. It doesn't give us any power or prestige. We're just gonna lose our lives. So maybe one guy would give up his life for a hoax. You would think that to be a pretty deranged man. But when we look at the history in the Bible, you see the disciples, they dedicate their life to the truth of the cross. And then as you keep reading, you'll find there's the witnesses. It wasn't just the disciples. The Bible says there were over 500 witnesses. It's in 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried and that he raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture." I just want you to see how in line the Scripture is. We read from Matthew, it's about the cross. We read Luke, it's about the cross. We read about 1 Corinthians. We see the same truth about the cross. The Bible says that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive. Speaking that there were many witnesses. And then as you continue to read the Bible and see the history of the church, some of us, because we're so separated from the timeline, we think, well, Christ died and rose again, and then like maybe like 100 years later, the church started, or maybe it started in a country like 700 miles away. No. What happened? 50 days later, in the same exact town where Christ had died, 50 days later, the disciples come together and say, Christ, who you know died, we don't have to, everybody knows he died. He is alive, and there are witnesses. And what happened just 50 days later? Thousands of people committed to following Jesus. And now we, thousands of years later, see what happened. The church exploded. Now where is it? It's everywhere across the globe. What? The truth that Jesus died on the cross and offers salvation to mankind, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. This truth that Jesus died and the truth that Jesus is alive. Now, some of you still may be sitting there go, great, you told us all the stuff from the Bible. Why believe the Bible? Man, let's talk about the awesome Bible. The Bible of 66 books and some 40 authors written over some 1,500 years, locked together. We can look at history, Jewish history, all of these things locked together. It is beautiful and trustworthy. One pastor said this. He says, I choose to believe the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They report to us the supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin. We look to God's word that has over 6,000 manuscripts. We see how it is supported. We look back in history in the church fathers, how people gave their life for it. We see it fulfill prophecy. The Apostle Peter says it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice. See, we gather as a church this Easter Sunday. Because we believe the greatest thing happened. Christ died on the cross and he rose again. And he offers salvation to mankind. Please don't see, if you're new, a guest, maybe you've come with family. We're not a church that go, man, we're just a bunch of good people and God's kind of got us over the hump and he's kind of given it, you know, we got it together. No, we are lost people who need a Savior. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says nobody's good. You're looking at a pastor not good enough to get to heaven by my works. What I am is I am a sinner. And because of that, Christ went to the cross. And he died on the cross to bear the weight of my sin and to your sin. That Christ came and he died on the cross. He bears the wrath of a righteous God to take our place. Because without it, we will bear the wrath, the righteous wrath of God, and be eternally separated from God. But look at God's love in Christ. That he loves you and he sent his Son, his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him shall never perish but have everlasting life. Yesterday, we had our egg hunt. Had some leaders gathered around, and I looked at a lady. And I said, hey, Jennifer, will you share your story? Because she had told me last week. She goes, yep. She was there to serve. She said, well, I've been coming to the church for 1 year. How do I know that? Because the first time I ever came was to the egg hunt here last year. She said, then I came back the next day. She said, I had been running from God for 40 years. And I've watched that lady find a home. She got baptized. I watch her growing in the Lord. She has found the something greater. She has found that Christ is the greatest. I will contend that there is nothing in this world that is going to fulfill you. Everything will fall short of the greatness of Jesus. The Bible says if we will repent of our sins and put our trust in Jesus Christ, Bible says to believe that he died and rose again, to ask him to be Lord of our life, he will save us. It's not a special ceremony. It's not any of those. It is to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. But can I tell you, that little thing is a great thing. And it's not a little thing. Because if you come to know Christ, it's not going to be put on a box and seen once every 3 months. If you come to know Christ because it's so great and wonderful, because the hope is real and it changes your life, it will change your life. Amen. Am I saying everything's easy? No, we live in a broken world, but we have the God of hope and peace. who loves us and saves us and gives us a new life. This morning, if you don't know Christ, I'm going to tell you right where you're at, you can accept him as Savior. To say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and save me. I believe you died on the cross and rose again. But I'll tell you, if you truly believe it, it's going to change your life. The church will become part of that. Find a place to grow, a place of people who love you, a place where you use your gifts to serve the Lord. Why? Because of the greatness of Jesus. Let's stand together. Worship team's going to come and lead us a song of worship. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. We praise you. Jesus, that you die on the cross and suffer that pain. We thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray these things.